Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening again. Welcome to Watchman. And we are continuing with our message that we were talking about last week. And as always, I'm with Evangelist John Paul Akena. And we are talking about the wonders of sowing and reaping. If you have missed the previous messages, please get all of them. They shall be on our website, ugwatchman.com. That is www.ugwatchman.com. And get them and just listen to them, because they will transform your life. I'm telling you things which actually transformed my financial life. And therefore are things that I'm not just getting out of. This is not theory. Things which I've practiced and they transformed my financial life. So it would be a good thing if you actually paid heed to them. So, John, last week we were talking about bad ground.
Yes.
And we said that what the Lord revealed to me are six different outcomes from the same seed and from the same sower.
Yes.
And we had just covered one of them.
Yes, and that one is exactly the seed that fell on the wayside. Mm. And what happened to that seed? Birds came and devoured it, which of course you explained, and how the Lord revealed to you that from Genesis 40, how that the same way the chief baker in that scripture, in that Genesis 40, Joseph interpreted that on the third day you'll be hanged, and then of course birds will eat.
He said devoured it.
Devoured, yes. So the Lord revealed to you that that's how when people sow to a ground, then it actually brings death. And that is
such a ground.
Yes.
And there is some ground which is death.
Death. Mm. Yes. So the first seed which fell on the wayside, we saw it as a seed which brings death.
Yes.
Yes.
But we're talking about financial death.
Financial death.
We're not talking about physical death,
yes,
or even spiritual death.
Yes.
You remain spiritually alive.
Yes.
And physically alive, but
yes,
financially you can die.
Yes.
By just sowing in the wrong ground. Very, very important. Six different outcomes from the same seed and from the same sower. The only thing that changes is the ground.
Mm.
Then the second one, verse 5, what does it say?
It says, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away.
Okay, now this is a milder form of death,
yes,
but also death.
Yes.
The other one is instant death,
yes,
you know, as soon as you drop dead. Now this one is a milder form of death, because remember when the seed falls, it actually sprouts a bit.
Yes.
But does not get to a point of yielding fruit.
Yes.
But the death occurs gradually. The sun comes and scorches. Now this kind of death is, I've also experienced this death.
Yes.
Because what happens is you can be in a place where you sow, and you're sowing and you're shrinking. Remember what happens when the sun scorches something?
Yes.
You get like anything green, like grass or something,
yes,
or even, okay, let's say like leaves or something.
Yes.
When the sun scorches it, what happens?
It shrinks.
It shrinks and
slowly,
shrinks.
Slowly until it dries.
Yes. Now, that's exactly what happens with this.
Mm.
Is you might not receive instant bad news as accompanying your seed. But it comes slowly, but eventually you shrink.
Mm.
Now, this is the sort of ground that causes shrinking.
Yes.
I remember I used to attend a church like that. And now here, the pastor does not believe in anything supernatural. You know, I've never seen, and he's a Pentecostal pastor.
Yes.
But he does not believe in any. Okay, the Pentecostal church has fallen, by the way, like to a point where somebody does not believe that there is anything supernatural. He does not believe that God can supernaturally prosper somebody. He does not believe that money can be gotten by any other means apart from the worldly means of work hard, toil, go and get bank loans and so on. That's all he knows. And that's all he practices. But he's a pastor and a good person. Now, because he didn't believe, like his ground is stony, like there is nothing, it's not cultivated for spiritual growth.
Yes.
So now, remember when you're sowing to a ministry,
mm.
you're actually not sowing to the ministry.
Yes.
You're sowing to the minister.
Yes.
Because the ministry is the minister.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, if the minister, who is the founder of the ministry,
yes,
and the head of it, has a stony ground,
yes,
that's what you're going to yield.
Yes.
You're going to yield results of stony ground.
Yes.
And that happens a lot of the time.
Yes.
Where people do not believe in anything supernatural.
Yes.
And then they start shrieking. I remember in this place, I would give money. And, you know, I've always been like somebody who wants to follow the biblical principles.
Yes.
So I would get my tithe, give a tithe and so on. And then you really see, when they are talking about money, you see that there is no acknowledgement of money being spiritual or that supernatural.
The hand of God.
Yes, or the hand of God in everything. Remember what, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says. You know, there is a place where you can be where you might not even have the fullness of acknowledge of the financial, you know, blessing to, you know, supernatural blessing.
Yes.
But there are basics like Proverbs 3:5. Yes. What does it say? It
says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on to your understanding, your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
So anyway, one of the key things I wanted to get here, Baz, even you go ahead.
Yes.
It says that in all your ways acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he will direct your path. Now there is a very basic way of walking with the Lord where you acknowledge him. Where it is, you don't know grand things.
Yes.
Maybe you're a child.
Yes.
But you start by acknowledging.
Yes.
Acknowledging is the first step of knowing that. Like somebody who goes and sits down to have a meal and acknowledges the provision of God.
Yes.
Now that's basic. You just say, God, I thank you for this food and what. But then, you know, you find people even who are believers who have gone even past that, where they don't acknowledge God for anything. It is all about their hard work and what. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he will direct your path. Now, there are people who are past, who came from at some stage believing, maybe I want to think at some stage they believed in the grand hand of provision of God. But they fall and fall and fall to the point that now they no longer even acknowledge God as a provider of all their needs. Go ahead.
It says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine.
Okay. Very important scriptures which I used to read a lot. Honor the Lord with your substance.
Yes.
And with the first fruit of your increase. And so shall your barns always be full. Sure. And your vats will be always
overflow
with what?
New wine.
With new wine. Now that means constant provision. Now you have to come to a place at least acknowledging him. Now,
yes.
This place, I don't believe that guy had any acknowledgement of God as a provider of his. Because he had his ways, you know, of getting money. And he was not doing badly altogether. He's actually, you could say he was doing well. But very little acknowledgement of God in all of this. Anyhow, to cut all this, so you saw. But you see, when people get money, there is a flipper. Like, I don't know, there is a way they treat it where, you know, these people don't believe in anything supernatural. So, because they don't, because the pastor doesn't believe money is supernatural, he believes he has to do something. If I started shrinking. He wasn't death like the birds, instant death. But this is slow, painful death. Now I realized that I started shrinking. Money which I used to have no problem getting started becoming a problem and more of a problem, more of a problem. And then I got to a point where I'm saying, what happened to me? Like previously I would have no trouble. Let's say like having 500,000 or what. Now would get to a point where even 50,000 is a bit of a problem. I say, what happened to me? And yet, even when I would get the 50,000, I would still go and tithe. And then I go further down.
Yes.
Then I continue tithing. I go further down. Then I continue tithing. I go further down. But not in
instant.
But in small increments. Then I wisened up when the Lord showed me this. And I realized that this church where I'm tithing is actually a clear example of stony ground. And I have seen places where people believe that money is going to come from Bazungu, money is going to come from some places. They don't believe in the supernatural provision of God. That's why I was so sad to see the other guy whom I told you, who came from the bottom, absolute bottom, carrying food across the town, across the street, from the sellers of the food to shops where people wanted to eat, to somebody who was now traveling the world. That story completely inspired me, because I realized that God does not need any input whatsoever. No. Of course, I knew that theoretically. But I saw somebody who came from the very bottom.
The evidence.
Evidence of it. And he tells you his story himself. And you are like, wow. Now, that man, who I was telling you last time, who gave into death, some of his stories are spectacular. Like, that's where you know that financial death is financial death. The man had a lot of matoke, you know, plantations of matoke. And he would sell a lot of matoke and had a lot of money from selling matoke. He was a man of God, but he also had, you know, matoke. He also had pigs, okay? He had a good number of pigs. So he would actually supply a lot of the piggeries, pork in all the, you know, that place. And so. So he was like, you know, failed, okay? Then he continued sowing that. The first seed he gave, he lost his cars. He did not realize that that was the cause of it. If he had gotten a similar seed and given it in a proper place, he would have recovered what he lost. Okay? That's what it says in Joel, I'll restore the years that
the locust.
The locust had eaten. Now, what the locust had eaten, God would restore. But he continued. Do you know what happened? On the same day, wind came and blew down all his matoke. When he gave the second big seed. Then even the pigs died. This is not a fairy tale, it is the truth. I can tell you it is the truth. I know the man. I know, he told me these stories himself. Only, he did not associate the stories with his giving. He just thought the devil is attacking me. The devil is attacking. Even the devil needs an input. If you sow into death, you're giving the devil an input. So he went into prayer and fasting. But the issue was the ground you're sowing into. He lost his pigs.
In one day, the winds.
One day, the matoke, the wind came and just blew the matoke down. Then the next time he sowed another seed, now the pigs died. And I'm like, my God, okay. By the now that taught me something. And God got me in touch with that man so that I know and I get a concrete understanding of this. That money is spiritual. Do not make a mistake. Money is spiritual. If you think that money is something which you work, okay, if you're in the system of the world, yes. But in the system of God, when you understand that, you will know that if you follow these principles that we are teaching you, you will get it. And there is nothing that can change to be a guarantee. So anyhow, back to this stony ground. So I shrink. Now there are people who used to give in churches. I remember when I first taught this message, 2014, September, on radio. Somebody called and said he was tired of hearing anything to do with sowing and reaping. But I'd been teaching end time and he liked my end time teaching. So when I came and I was teaching, and I taught this in the theme of getting out of Babylon. Of financial Babylon. And basing on the scripture that is in Revelation chapter 18 verse 4. Come out of it, my people. Because it's about to be destroyed. So I based on that, and I was going through the book of Revelation. And when I got there, I told people about coming out of financial Babylon. And this gentleman had my message. When he came and he was following, enjoying my expose of the book of Revelation. Now, when he came to the part where I'm talking about getting out of financial Babylon, and I talked about sowing, he said, now he has gotten spoiled. He has become like these other preachers who only want money. But he said, anyway, since I've been listening to him all this time, let me just give him the benefit of the doubt. So he listened to the, there were three messages. So he listened to the first one and he was, then the second one, he told me that it transformed his life. I didn't meet him personally. Those days I used to communicate through email. He sent me an email and said, I almost switched off and said, now also you've become spoiled. Because he was tired of preachers talking about giving, But we are talking what the Bible says. But now I'm telling you in a way that is going to benefit you. Because I've done this. You know, I'm not asking you to give me, you know. But if you want to prosper, you might as well give me. Because my ground is very good. But you don't have to. Just find good ground. Anywhere. It can be in you. I would wish it is actually in your church or somewhere.
Yes. Mm.
Because if your church is good ground, I wish the pastors would learn this and practice it. They become good ground. So that now when people sow into their ministries, the people prosper.
Yes.
Now when people prosper, you don't beg them to give.
No.
You don't beg them to give. Mm. They give automatically, because when you have a fertile land and you sow seed in it, and you get a big harvest, nobody's going to convince you to sow when the next season comes around.
You just automatically.
Yeah. So I would wish it is that, because, you know, but I wish. It's not always the case, unfortunately. But anyway, so this gentleman told me that it actually transformed his life, and that blessed me. But he was giving, here's the reason I told the story. He was giving to a church, which was once powerful, you know, in the city and all that. But over the time, they started becoming so much of an NGO, and they really, really got away from the foundations of actually ministering the word of God to bring faith that prospers people.
Mm.
And then when they got off the foundation, they were not always like that, but when they got off the foundation, then people who start giving eventually start shrinking.
You see, immediately it sprang up. Because it had no depth of the earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched.
Yes. Now remember, I talked to you about depth.
Yes.
Depth is the putting the word of God in
you. Yes.
That's why I started from there.
Yes.
Before I got here. Now it would help if you didn't listen to the previous messages to go and listen so that you understand the meaning of depth.
Yes.
So anyhow, so you they shrank and eventually, but the interesting thing is it changes because when the Lord showed me this and I stopped sowing in that ministry which was hard ground and I found good ground to sow, I started coming back up slowly. It wasn't instant. I would be lying if I told you it was instant. But suddenly the first thing that happened is the shrinking stopped. Then after the shrinking stopped, then I started, you know, improving bit by bit. Then it started growing, of course, as I was doing other things.
Yes.
Then it grew. So now, do you have any stories from Stony Ground? I'm sure you also experienced things like that. Some of you young men have not gone through the things. We've gone through a lot of things that our experiences are so rich in the good and the bad. But anyhow, should we move to the next one?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yes, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Okay, this is the third one that yields no fruit. Tell us about the thorns. What do you understand from this?
Now, this is, for instance, when you sow to a place, and then what they are all speaking about is, we need this to do this, we need this to do this. And of course, it's like their perspective of money, number one. Also, their understanding of like what you've also spoken about, like their understanding of blessing. So what they're all about is problems, challenges, things around them. There's something which you spoke earlier about perspective, mindset, what they believe actually. So it's all not right, like based on the scriptures.
But now this one, you see that for thorns to choke a plant, the plant has grown a bit, but it reaches somewhere and it does not yield fruit. Now when we go forward, it says, when Jesus was explaining the parables, it says verse 18, what does it say?
Verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful.
Okay. Now, here there's a qualification he puts on it here. The deceitfulness of, first of all, the cares of this
cares
world.
Cares of this world.
Now, the cares of this world is a very, very powerful thing, because when people start sowing and receiving money, so many times their attitude changes, and they start looking at it as if it is magic. And they don't understand that the principles of God follow the heart, the heart of the sower, as much as the heart of the person you're sowing.
Yes.
So, and I've met people like this. I've met people even in churches, even some of them powerful men of God, who you just look at them and you realize that this person They are all about earning a living. Preaching the gospel is about earning a living. And on the surface care. Of it, there's nothing wrong with that, because the scripture says that God has commanded that those who preach the gospel must live off the gospel. That is scripture.
First Corinthians 9. Yes.
Okay. But there is, when you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, there's an attitude that people get. And I can tell even somebody, when it's all about earning a living, even all their life on earth is all about earning a living. And because they don't change their attitude, somehow their fruitfulness is curtailed. Because thorns can only choke a plant when it's about to get fruit.
Yes.
Because remember, the thorns grow at the same time.
Yes.
So now when it would have gotten fruit, then it's choked by the thorns. Now there's something that happens when people undertake the cares of this world and they start getting interested in money. There are people whom I know God called to do, you know, powerful ministries and so on. And they start, and the first sight of money completely turns them around. And immediately, it's all about money.
Money, yes.
And now they don't know that actually when you treat money like that, it will flee from you. The principle of he who seeks to save his life will lose it.
Lose it, yes.
And he who loses it for the sake of what?
The gospel.
Of the gospel will gain it.
Yes.
That's how it is. When you cease to care about the money and you're all about preaching the gospel, you'll see how the money will come.
Yes.
Like it will come and even more than you need. And then when somebody is actually looking his eyes on the money, it will not come.
Yes.
Now, there is a bit of motive. You see, people think they can separate God from motive. You cannot.
Yes.
You cannot separate God from motive.
Yes.
When the thorns come in, one of the things they do is people become, that's what he calls the deceitfulness of riches.
Riches.
You become excited about riches. Now,
yes.
Remember, the Bible says God gives us richly
all things
to enjoy. So God has absolutely nothing wrong with you being rich and enjoying your riches.
Yes.
But there is a deceitfulness attached to it, which causes some people to get off the, off the true path of why actually this comes. That's why purpose is a very important thing.
Yes.
When people, and we spoke about that a bit, and perhaps we'll talk about it a bit more when we're talking about the food of the soul.
Yes.
A word, a song, and purpose.
Yes.
When people are filled with a purpose, and they have a specific purpose they are pursuing.
Yes.
I can tell you that no amount of money is going to take them. When they are they are full of the purpose.
Yes.
And everything they do is, you know, governed by the purpose.
Yes.
However, a time comes when they somehow get off the purpose thing or the purpose-driven life. And then now they start getting excited about the riches.
Yes.
And I don't know. And then it says the lusts for other things entering in.
Sure. The word.
Now remember, the word is supposed to give fruit. And not just fruit in what you're called to do and so on. It's supposed to give fruit in you, you bearing fruit and becoming a fruitful minister in the word of God. I don't know how best to explain this. But now I know that it still does not yield fruit. But this is not instant death. This is not even shrinking. This is like death. At the time when you were about to break forth, everything falls apart.
Yes.
It seems you appear to be going in a certain place, then you reach in a place and stall.
Yes.
And I'm sure so many people know about that.
Yes.
Then you stagnate.
Yes.
Somebody started and was growing. Then you reach a certain place and now stagnation. Then you know that somewhere thorns came and choked the seed.
Yes.
Anyhow, so now those are thorns.
Yes.
Then other fell on good ground.
Yes, verse 8.
Uh-huh.
And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100.
Okay.
And he said, he that has ears, let him hear. Yeah.
Okay. I hope everyone who is here, who is on the show today, has ears. And because it says now, good ground, some yield 30, some yield 60, some yield 100-fold. Now, even the good ground has grades. There is grade 1 of good ground, grade 2 of good ground, and grade 3 of...
I like the part where it says, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased.
Where is that?
Verse 8.
Okay.
And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up one
And increased.
Increased.
Yes. Now, because there is fruit which can spring up but does not increase, so that you have only one harvest.
Yes.
Now, do you know, thank you for bringing this. Do you know there are some people who are like that?
Yes.
They have one bumper harvest and they sowed, then they get something, then they get excited and that's all they ever get. Then you know thorns came in there and choked because they didn't increase thereafter.
Yes.
Now, in everything, when it happens once and does not happen again, you know there is something which happened there because it is meant to come and stay.
Yes.
It's meant to be a part of your life.
Yes.
So when it comes and does not increase, something happened.
Yes.
It says, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Now, the increase is supposed to be continuous.
Yes.
You are supposed to be continuously increasing. There is not supposed to be an end to the increase in all of this. Anyway, I hope you've picked that out. Now we are going to the positive. Some yielded 30, some 100, some, you know. And then he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was done, they that were about him, the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. Now, of course, he's quoting, I think, from Isaiah.
Yes.
And then he says, and he said unto them, don't you know this parable? How then will you know all the parables? Then he went ahead to explain. Now, we have used this scripture to help you understand that the most important thing about where you sow is the ground.
Yes.
If you have consistently, now the word here is consistently, because some people are very impatient. They sow for a bit, and then when they don't receive in one, then they run away.
Yes.
But if you have consistently sowed in a place and you've not seen an increase, it's time to check the ground. First of all, start by asking, does the pastor tithe himself as a person?
Yes.
Now, here is how you tell. Number one, does the pastor tithe himself? Or does he just eat tithes? Nothing wrong with the pastor eating tithes, but he has to tithe also. Okay, somewhere. Number one. Number two, if he tithes, does he tithe in good ground?
Yes.
That's a second thing. Number three, does the church tithe?
Yes.
The church. There is the pastor and then there is the church.
Church.
Yeah. So does the church tithe? Now, I remember I told my underground pastor that we should start tithing as a church. You should have listened to him. He said, no, we need the money and so on. People don't tithe because they don't need the money. But you see, when people don't believe in supernatural things,
yes,
they will find excuses for doing it. And when he told me that, actually, that helped me understand why he is bad ground. Because I didn't bring tithes to him because I didn't need the money. I brought tithes because I actually believe in supernatural, but it wasn't working for me. So then he told me that, and I've had other preachers say it. I remember some preacher said he went, this is a man of God, he was talking to a missionary who was preaching the gospel across the world. Then he told him that you know, the guy was telling him where they've been and how they are preaching the gospel. So he just felt like he should give him, you know, a seed. So he said, you know, when your next trip? So he told him. So he went and gave him a big seed. Then he did not see a harvest. He did not receive a harvest. Because these are people who know that when they sow, they expect a harvest.
Yes.
Now, don't be a religious person who sows and does not expect a harvest.
Yes.
That is not wise. That is religion. We are not preaching religion. We are preaching the word of God.
Yes.
The word of God is spirituality.
Yes.
So, he went and asked the missionary and told him that, because he was trying to understand, why didn't I receive a harvest when I tithed? So he went and asked the missionary that, so where do you tithe? So the missionary said, for us we don't tithe. We need the money in the field, so, you know, we don't tithe. So he told him, no wonder I did not receive a harvest. I will never give you any coin of mine again. That's the last money you'll ever get from me. Now, that is the attitude.
Yes.
Don't tithe to somebody who does not tithe. Do not. Because the way these things work, now, of course, this will not be popular with some, especially preachers, but it's the truth.
Yes.
The way it works is it's like a pipe which goes round. When you put your money here, let's say Akena gets his tithe and gives to, let's say, the Watchman Ministries, which is under me, then the ministry goes and gets tithe and gives to another ministry, then another ministry. It goes round like that, and when it comes back to Akena, it is 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold.
Yes.
Now, if somewhere in the channel, somebody does not tithe,
then
the flow is cut off. Then Akena will start giving and not getting anything. She starts giving, gets nothing. Starts giving, gets nothing. So do not tithe to somebody who will themselves not tithe. Go to 2 Corinthians 2:17.
It says,
Amplified.
Yes. It says, for we are not like many, acting like merchants, peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating.
First of all, I like that. It says, peddling God's word.
Yes.
Now, that is what so many preachers do. They peddle the word of God. Peddling means kutembea, what you'd call kutembea in Uganda, or like being hawking the word of God. You go hawking, you know. And now I've seen so many such people. Oh, man, I've seen much such people. I have seen people like, there's one when I was in that church who came, and his specialty was to go in churches. And he was a good orator, very good speaker and so on. Go to churches preaching about giving. So you'd come, and the pastors who needed money would call him to come, and, you know, and they say, get money out of them. And, you know, of course, he uses flowery, powerful language and so on. So I remember he had a conference throughout the week, which I didn't attend. Then on Sunday, I came to attend, and now that time he was talking about giving your Isaac. And like the most prized possession. And there's no way I can preach it and be as eloquent as him. But man, he was eloquent. And so many people were touched. But I looked and saw, I could see somebody was peddling the word of God. I can tell when somebody means the things they say and when they are just saying things for the benefit of it.
Yes.
I can tell it. I can tell it. I can just look at somebody and know this one is here earning a living.
Yes.
And then somebody who speaks from a point of knowledge. You see, now that is the depth. That's what we were talking about the other time. When
they ask the Lord that he doesn't speak like the scribes.
The scribes. He speaks as one who has authority. Because he knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
The scribes are just saying, you know, Moses said this and what. Now, you can tell when somebody is speaking and he knows what they are talking about. So I looked at this guy. Even then, I wasn't so astute in these things that I'm teaching. But even then, I looked at him and said, no. So the guy asked people to come to the stage and come and say what you're giving. So people came and gave cars and so on and all that. And the next thing I heard the next week, the man came and had a serious exchange with the pastors. He had not agreed on whether the cars were his or for the church. So the next time I knew, they were exchanging all sorts of nasty words over the money that had been collected. So now when everybody was going forward to give, I even saw people looking at me saying, you mean you're not going to give? I said, you're joking. I have seen these peddlers of the word of God. I am not going to give. So I sat down and looked at them, and I was very pensive and very disinterested, because I knew he was peddling the word of God. Ask such a man if he has ever given a tithe. Or if he has, he's talking about giving Isaac. You ask him if he has ever given anything, even a cow, let alone Isaac. Like, I know, and there used to be many. I don't know about now, because maybe I'm not so involved in that side. There are many, and I would see them, they move, hop from church to church, and they are peddlers of the word of God. Now, Paul is saying, what does he say?
For we are not like many. Acting like
so now,
merchants.
Paul did not even say we are not like some. He said we are not like many. So the merchants, even that time, were many.
Yes.
So even now, they are many.
Yes.
So even in the time of Paul, they are many. So it's not like there were a few, you know, there are few rotten apples in the what basket. Paul says there are many who are merchants, who are peddlers, who are hawkers of the word of God.
Acting like merchants, peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating God's message.
Okay. Now, shortchanging, you know what shortchanging is, because people don't get what they expect.
Yes.
They don't receive what they expect. You understand? Now, I have seen people who come and speak very arrogantly about giving, but I can tell this one is a giver.
Yes.
And if you sow into him, you're going to receive.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. There's a guy you might see on TV, some black American guy. Mm. He would come and talk about the seed. Mm. And then he said, okay, now bring those checks, bring those checks. Mm. And people would bring checks because he was not a shortchanger. Mm. He was somebody who practiced.
Yes.
What, and people always came and gave. Mm. And he had the grace to prosper people.
Yes.
And it comes through practicing.
Yes.
Things, not just being the receiver.
Yeah.
There are people who are expert receivers, but terrible givers. Mm. Uh-huh.
Then he says, but from pure and compromised motives,
uh-huh,
as commissioned, okay, and sent from God.
Now, those, all the, by the way, these are very, very powerful things.
Mm.
First of all, pure motive.
Yes.
Now, the reason this gentleman, when he heard me preaching, wanted to switch off, and eventually he thanked God he did not switch off, is because I was preaching it out of a pure motive.
Yes.
Actually, I will tell you this. In 2014, September, when I was preaching, and I felt led strongly to preach about it, I said, God, people are tired of this thing.
Mm.
They would think I am like, you know. Better and late. Strongly, I felt the Lord telling me, you just talk about it.
Mm.
And I said, anyway, it's your word. I am going to talk about it. But the motive was pure. I did not. I wasn't asking anybody. I wasn't, preaching because I wanted people to give me money.
Yes.
My motive, I was actually communicating to people what the Lord had taught me and what was beginning to transform my financial life. That was just the beginning of it, transforming my financial life. And it excited me when the Lord showed it to me. And it might seem simple to you, but it was a big revelation to me. Because then I know when this one is bad ground, I can't sow, I know this one is death. If I manage to miss the direction of God and I sow in death, I will tell immediately that this is not, I should not have sowed there. And immediately I will get a seed and go now and sow in life to undo what I did. And I lived my life like that and I started growing continuously.
Yes.
So anyhow, so it says, pure motive.
Yes.
Very, very important. Very, very important.
Yes.
You cannot separate God from motives.
Yes.
If I came here and I was preaching this because there is a lack in the Watchman Ministries and I'm fundraising. I am not fundraising.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
I am not saying give so that we stay on radio in your place. We are going to stay on radio whether you give or not.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I know. I want you to know that it is, there is nothing I am saying here that is for my benefit.
No.
It is pure, and the Lord is my witness.
Yes.
It is not for my benefit. It is for your benefit.
Yes.
If you choose to sow, that is yours. That is up to you, really.
Yes.
If you choose to sow here, it is really up to you. Mm. But it is not for my benefit.
Yes.
And it is not for any need.
Yes.
Okay? We are not in need. We are not. And we are not going to be.
Yes.
Okay? We serve a God of abundance. Remember what I said?
Yes.
God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always have him all sufficiency in all things. May have an abundance for every good work. So even after I've paid all radio, I will have an abundance left over. Because that was the word I planted. So my point is, this is purely for the benefit of the listener. Some people will believe it, some people will not. It's up to you, really.
Yes.
I do not care. I am speaking the word of God.
Yes.
So the motive, okay? Then the next one is,
as commissioned and sent from God.
Very, very important.
Mm.
Do you know why that is so important?
Mm.
Tell me, why do you think it's important?
Now, there are places where you find that some people just are carried and then they go and say, now we are going to do this for the Lord.
Mm.
And of course, that has not been sourced from God.
It is the commission is not from
God. The commissioning wasn't from God.
Mm.
And such places normally carry such things like thorns and death. Mm. And actually, because it doesn't carry the hand of God.
Yes.
That supernatural.
Yes.
It doesn't carry it. Mm. But then there is one which has been commissioned by God. They have had the clear voice of the Lord, and he said, this is what we are going to do.
Mm.
And that is when you sow into such ground, of course, that's the commission is true.
Mm.
Yes.
So I'll give you an example. There's some people who I know were top evangelists.
Yes.
They used to do powerful crusades, get people born again.
Mm.
Some of them even used to have, miracles. Growing in the evangelistic ministry. And somehow, at some stage, there was this the move of God in the towards the prophetic,
yes,
which is very pronounced right now.
Yes.
And then evangelists decided that maybe we are not supposed to be evangelists, we are all supposed to be prophets. So now you find somebody who was a very effective evangelist now trying to become a prophet. And now he does not become a prophet just because he wants to become a prophet. That is not for him to give. That is for God to give.
Yes.
You can desire to prophesy, but you don't desire to be a prophet.
Yes.
The ministry is given by God. So now somebody abandons his station in the evangelistic field. And actually, I know some of them would be very well supplied. They would have people who give them money, people who supply their need, people who sponsor their crusades, and they, because they were commissioned by God.
Yes.
As commissioned by God.
Yes.
And then they would go and do things as commissioned by God.
Yes.
And as long as they were commissioned by God, they would get some money. Okay, they might not have gotten the fullness of it because maybe the whole revelation wasn't.
Yes.
But in there, everybody who is doing what God sent them to
yes.
do, there is something about them.
Yes.
They will never lack. They will never, for even when they make mistakes, God covers them.
Yes.
Like there is nothing as powerful as moving in the commission of God.
Yes.
Like you will make the worst mistake and God will shield you and cover you up. And even take it out of people's minds.
Yes.
And they forget that you made a mistake. It is powerful because you are called and you're doing what God called you to do. So anyhow, then these people decide, that one person who I have in mind decided he wanted to be a prophet. And he became from being a first-class evangelist to a very low-grade fake prophet. By fake, I don't mean that he was, you know, fake, but I mean that he wasn't a prophet.
Yes.
Okay. And but, you know, he wanted it so badly, so he was trying to fake it till you make it. You don't fake it till you make it in the kingdom of God.
No.
You either are or are not.
Yes.
So, and it affected his finances. He went down. The people who were financing him as an evangelist started withholding their money. Not, they don't do it knowingly.
Yes.
Somehow they just don't give. Because they were giving because they were touched by God.
Yes.
As long as you were in the field.
Yes.
But now, when you when you come out of the field and now enter into a different field where you are not called, then the money is not there.
Yes.
Very, very important. It's like the example I used to give of a civil servant.
Yes.
I'll give you an example.
Yes.
If you are, let's say, enlisted.
Yes.
As an employee of the government.
Yes.
And they now say that you are a civil servant.
Servant, yes.
So you are entitled to a salary, you're entitled to an office, you're entitled to maybe all the things that come along with an office and so on.
Yes.
Then, but they post you, let's say, in Ministry of Finance.
Yes.
And they say, now you're a civil servant, now we posted you in the Ministry of Finance.
Yes.
Then you say, ah, but me, I don't like finance.
Yes.
Me, I've always liked defense.
Yes.
Then you say, I will go to Minister of Defense. When you go to Minister of Defense, there is no office for you.
Nothing.
There is no salary for you
Nothing.
There. There is no computer for you there. And you look like an imposter.
Yes.
And yet you're actually a civil servant.
Yes.
But the only difference is that you are in
the wrong place.
Place.
Yes.
So you can suffer. And there are so many people like that. You suffer in the wrong place for so many years just because you will not go
yes.
where you were. Now, after suffering in Minister of Defense, and you are moving in corridors, you don't even have
yes.
an office, then maybe you get some wisdom at some stage and say, maybe I should go to the ministry where they commissioned
Enlisted me.
Yeah. And then you go to the Ministry of Finance, which is where they put you. Then when you arrive, Minister of Finance, you find there is an office waiting for you, there is a salary waiting
yes.
for you. Now, that's how so many children of God are.
Yes.
They are children of God, ministers, but not necessarily in the correct
yes.
commission. And that means that they will not give you a hundredfold.
Yes.
Now, for somebody to qualify to be a hundredfold, by the way, it's a tough
yes.
thing. I'm going to read that scripture again. For we are not like many. Remember, he says many.
Many.
Not few. Acting like merchants. Merchants of the word of God.
Yes.
You know merchants, but I know the world gets so angry when because they think all men of God are merchants. No, but
yes.
there are some who are. And peddling God's word. Like hawkers or hawking God's word, shortchanging and adulterating God's message. Now you see, when you become a hawker, you also start becoming, you start adulterating the word.
Yes.
You start behaving as if
and for your benefit.
Yes. And also, you start treating people differently because
yes.
they give a lot of money.
Mm.
You start, you know, grading people
yes.
according to how much they give. God is not like that.
No.
Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was standing before the money box, when he said, this old widow has given more than all the rest. Mm. Now, when you actually have the heart of Jesus towards giving, you can tell that somebody comes and gives you 5,000 shillings or even 2,000, and they have given a lot. And you know it, you can tell it, and you value it.
Yes.
And somebody can come and give you 10 million shillings, and they have not given you anything.
Yes.
And you know it, and you know, you absolutely know.
Yes.
And now, you are not moved by the 10 million.
Yes.
You can see beyond the money.
Yes.
Now, of course, that's a very difficult paper for so many people, but that's why you're not a hundredfold.
Yes.
I know it's a tough paper for many people.
Tough.
Very tough paper. Mm. Because I know, like somebody, people come and you realize that, I'll give you an example. There's somebody who came, one time, he came to me and he had all these issues. He was doing a lot of big work and for government and all that. And he came and they had really, really taken a while without paying him. So he came to me and said, man of God, pray for me. Now, when I was beginning to pray that day, he gets paid because he was in trouble. Because also there are people whom he had employed, whom he also had to pay and so on. And all those things have a ripple effect. So he said, man of God, pray for me. And now when I was beginning to pray, the Lord told me, you don't have to pray about that. You just command it.
Mm.
So I told him, I remember it was 21st of, if I'm not mistaken, March of some year. I told him, by the end of this month, you are going to be paid all your money.
Mm.
He got the check on 31st of March.
Mm.
He brought for me a seed, which wasn't small.
Mm.
But I knew that he was giving, like these people who are giving what they can, whatever. I knew that it wasn't. Now, there's somebody who would come and give me very little money. The money he gave me wasn't little. But there's somebody who would come and give me much less money, and I would be more moved by them than by him. Because I knew he was just giving out of because he had gotten all this, you know, and he was giving. So I said, okay, but so now, this is where the adulteration comes in, where they start grading people, you know? Mm. Yeah.
This one.
Ones, those who can give this amount, go there and they even give you a cup of tea.
Mm.
Man, that is worldly. Because you know what it does? It appeals to people's flesh.
Yes. And
the kind of, anything that appeals to people's flesh is carnal.
Yes.
It is not spiritual.
You will not reap.
You will not reap from it. Because you're giving the person the glory for giving a lot. And Jesus said they have got their reward. Now, somebody who comes and gives, you know, in the proper way, because they have believed the word of God, and say, God, I believe your word.
Yes.
I believe that if I give, I'm going to be. And they give out of that heart to good ground. They are going to go and get a blessing. And it's going to manifest. And so it says, for we are not like many. I'm repeating the many. Actually, in my the New King James said they're not like so many or so many others. Paul distinguishing himself from so many others. So he says, acting like merchants, peddling God's word, adulterating the message, trying to change the message to suit the purpose.
Yes.
Okay? And you've seen that even on TV where people say, now this is the season which God said, this is a special season. God said if you sow money in this special season, you're going to get 1,000-fold. Okay, God can say that. I'm not in charge. I'm not his spokesperson. But then, so many times they are lying.
Yeah.
So many times they are lying. Now that is adulterating.
To suit what they want.
Yeah, to suit what they want. And to try to get work people up in the flesh.
Yes.
You know, to psych people to give. Now this giving we are saying is not psych.
Yes.
It is somebody believing the word and acting on it anyhow. But from a pure, uncompromised motives, you see. So we are not shortchanging from pure, uncompromised motives.
Yes.
And commissioned and sent of God, we speak his message in the sight of God.
Yes.
I will give you, in a tabulated form, five different conditions that qualify for somebody to be absolutely good, 100-fold ground where you'll give and you'll see an increase.
Yes.
But remember, you have to, it's sow seed, time harvest.
Yes.
Some people want to sow today and receive tomorrow.
Yes.
I wish it, and sometimes it happens, but it happens when somebody has been sowing a lot of times.
Yes.
But sometimes you can sow a seed and takes months.
Yes.
Without but then that doesn't mean it was wrong ground. So I don't want you to hurry and be in a hurry to dismiss people as wrong ground. And you know, be careful.
Yes.
But then also, don't hang on to somebody out of emotion.
Yes.
There are so many people who stick to places out of emotion. No. This is where what? This is where my parents used to go. This is where what? And it's bringing them down.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. If I had stayed emotionally giving to that church where the pastor was my friend and what, it would have finished me. I would have shrunk until there is nothing left.
Yes.
But when I realized, when the Lord revealed to me, this is about the principle.
Yes.
And you are responsible for yourself.
Yes.
You're not responsible for anybody else.
Yes.
I tried to advise him. I told him, let's start tithing as a church.
Mm.
Let us find a ministry which we think is blessed, which we want to see those things happening.
Mm.
The thing where we see things happening and would want those same things to happen with us.
Yes.
Let us find such a ministry and we tithe there. The faster throughout my advice. So when I started my own ministry, I did what I fulfilled my own advice.
Yes.
I got a ministry which is thriving the way I would want to thrive. I tithe there. I partner.
Yes.
There we'll talk about that.
Yes.
And I connect there.
Yes.
And that's how, on top of sowing the word, on top of sowing seed in good ground, I also found a place which is moving.
Yes.
And you can tell a ministry which is thriving and one which is not. You can tell. Some people deceive themselves. Eh?
Yes.
You can look and say this ministry is not thriving.
Yes.
Now, there's somebody who came to me one day and we used to go to the same ministry. Now, the ministry we used to go to, that person, it was a lady, she had been there longer than me.
Mm.
Now, this is a ministry which is thriving. But she used to attend a certain church where she was emotionally attached.
Yes.
So she would give, you know, her whatever.
Yes.
Sit there and what, partner there. So she came and told me, but I'm giving, but I'm not receiving. Everything is going, pointing south and so on. So the first thing I ask such people, where do you tithe?
Yes.
First of all, do you tithe?
Yeah.
That yes. Next question, where do you tithe?
Mm.
Now, if I know that the place they tithe, these principles are being adhered to,
yes,
then maybe you can pray for them. Maybe the devil is trying to block their fight. There's always. Mm. But I'm telling you, those two questions, 80% of the people who are suffering from financial issues, it's a question, do you tithe? Number one. Number two, where do you tithe?
Right. Mm.
Just by that, you've eliminated 90% of the problems. So this, I asked this lady. The church used to tithe. I know the pastor, and I've even been there. So I asked her, that, where you tithe? So she said, I tithe with this church, with what? So I said, okay. But you attend this ministry. I said, okay. When did you start attending this ministry?
Mm.
Now, the ministry which she was attending with me, she had started from one small room. It had grown to a place which could sit like 80 people. It had grown to a place which would sit like 300 people. Right now, at the time she was asking me, it had grown to a place which could sit like 1,500 people.
Mm.
It was all happening, so fast.
Yes.
So I told her that, compare what you've seen here with what you see the other side.
Mm.
Which of these two places would you want to connect?
Yes.
If you want to see fast growth.
Mm.
And the answer was obvious. Mm. The other one has stagnated. You can see stagnation.
Mm.
Pure stagnation, I mean financial. You know, sometimes people think growth is in numbers. No.
Mm.
It can be, but it might also not be.
Yes.
There is a growth in quality.
Yes.
Of the quality of the people and what. The numbers. There are ministries which grow in numbers.
Yes.
But the poverty which is there. I know so many of them.
Yes.
So anyhow, I told her, I know. I think the answer is obvious.
Yes.
So she saw the answer. I don't think she listened to me, and I don't think her financial position improved. Now, that is the unfortunate thing about some of these things. You can give people advice, but ultimately it is up to them.
Yes.
So give us the final word before we...
What I can say here today is, this is a principle.
Mm.
And principles doesn't favor anybody.
Yes.
Once you apply it, the results will be seen. Now, what you are left with as a listener right now, you've been listening, apply these principles. Make sure that this is what you are practicing in your life. And once you do it, it's upon your favor.
Mm-hmm.
It will favor you and you'll see the results in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Principles do not respect people.
Yes.
They do not respect time.
Yes.
Okay? They are applicable to whosoever.
Yes.
Applies them.
Yes.
It's almost like natural principles, like the principle of gravity.
Yes.
If you jump off a building, it's not going to respect who you are.
No.
If you jump off in the morning, it's not going to be different from if you jump off in the
night.
It's all the same because there's a principle of gravity which is going to bring you down to the ground. Mm. So now spiritual principles are the same.
Yes.
You apply it, it works for you. Mm. Other people have applied it, it has worked for them.
Yes.
So the decision is really up to you whether you're going to apply it or not.
Yes.
So continue, tell us.
So what you are supposed to be doing right now is to practice this which you have heard.
Start from the beginning. Give us a recap of everything in the last three of messages.
Okay. Mm. We've spoken about the last three. Mm. We've spoken about prospering just as your soul prosper. Mm. And we said that your prosperity is in relation to how your soul has prospered. Mm. Your prosperity, your good health, your abundance and everything.
What is
about
the soul?
The soul, mind uh-huh. the will, mm-hmm. and the intellect.
Intellect
and the emotions.
Emotions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, your prosperity mm-hmm. is according to how the mind has prospered, mm-hmm. the will has prospered, mm-hmm. and the emotion mm-hmm. or the feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, and we spoke about that. The only thing that is there to feed your soul mm-hmm. is there are three. Mm-hmm. And one is the word. Mm-hmm. Two is the song which you get to illuminate you and to make you praise the Lord and be in thanksgiving. And as the scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not the benefits. And then there is the purpose. Now, what we have all been speaking about right now is how to actually apply the word by meditating on the word, by making sure that you get a word, and that word begins to work in the inside of you. And when you meditate on it, the scripture says, there you'll make your way prosperous.
Okay.
And you have good success. And actually, one thing which right now actually we've spoken about is making sure that we prosper now financially in the real time, which is sowing on good ground. Of course, you've given us all these different grounds. There's the one on the wayside, which is death. Then there's one which, which doesn't ask
stony.
Yes, stony ground that doesn't have much earth, and of course it you the kind of prosperity you have, you see a certain kind, but immediately, okay, not really immediately, but after some period of time, you shrink, and then leads to death. Then the other one is a kind of a ground which is among thorns. When you sow your seed, it begins to grow, but among thorns, which is, of course, like those are people who, when they see a certain kind of success, they don't continue applying the whole principle of it, having good motives, having good mindset, and then, of course, they be taken up with this success which they have tried to see, and then, of course, the desires and desiring bigger things, and then they leave the real root where they began from.
And then they also don't get fruit.
And then they also don't get fruit. And then the best, which is sowing on good ground, which you, all of us should know, is that one thing which you should know about good ground is you begin to sow, and then you begin to see increase. It may not be immediately. Yes, but it takes time. And this time, you have to also be consistent in it, in your sowing, in your sowing your good seed. But one of the things to know is the soil, the ground. Because where are you sowing? And are you sowing or where are you sowing? Those are the
first
two,
of all, the two questions.
The two questions.
Number one, are you sowing?
Yes.
Number two, where are you sowing? Those are the two important questions.
Yes.
And if those questions are answered rightly, then the principle has been put in place, then you'll get the benefits thereof.
Yes.
Next time we will continue talking maybe about, I'll tell you about mindsets. There are a few other things that are attached to this.
Yes.
It is not just, you know, like it's a whole package of things. So maybe we'll talk about it just one more week. and then we shall go back to other things thereafter.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.